Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
This is an historic time.
This could be the next 1918 pandemic.
Why is it taking so long to get a screening test?
Are you isolating yourself?
Who do you count on?
It's actually to protect you.
Wash hands, wash hands, wash hands.
I mean, you're the scientist. You're going to have to tell me.
Welcome, welcome to Science Rules, Coronavirus Edition. I'm your host, Bill Nye, and this is the series that brings you the latest analysis and the science of this pandemic to keep you informed, prepared, and calm. We're all in this together, my friends. And these days, it isn't so easy to stay calm. There's a deadly virus out there to worry about, and many of us are facing serious financial worries. Meanwhile, we're cut off from our friends and family, or maybe we're a little too close to our friends and family, if you know what I'm saying. So we see the signs of stress all around us. The day after Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced social distancing measures in the UK, researchers surveyed 2,000 people and found a 20% increase in people reporting symptoms of anxiety and depression. So my neighbors have been obsessively wiping with alcohol their packages and leaving their stuff out in the sun for days at a time. They're doing things that they never used to do. So could the COVID-19 pandemic leave us with a psychological pandemic? Well, to get some answers to questions like that, today we're talking with Dr. Olivia Fisher. She's an expert in mental health, depression, and anxiety at the Queensland University of Technology School of Public Health in Brisbane, Australia. Welcome to Science Rules, Dr. Fisher. Olivia, if I may call you that.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me to come and speak with you, Bill.
So people are getting anxious. Everybody's getting anxious. Can you tell, are there signs for you and your business of people's anxiety or depression or stress level?
Yes, I think.
Just the way you inhaled right there, just the, well, that right there.
Look, we're seeing it everywhere. And I think there's so much uncertainty and people are really feeling that they're surrounded by threat right now, you know, and it's an invisible threat. So, of course, we're all feeling more anxious at the moment than usual. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of people around me talking about anxiety and how we're all going to get through this.
So, you know, along this line here at Science Rules, we take listener questions, listener comments by voicemail, a technology you may remember. And we have, I think, a very relevant one just to kick us off here. Roll that digital recording.
Hi, Bill and Corey. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Science Rules. I listen often. I am a registered nurse in an ICU here in rural Pennsylvania. But my biggest concern and one of my biggest worries is how this is currently affecting mental health and how it will continue to affect mental health down the road, and just kind of how we as people should view what's going on and maybe how we can help others.
Well, there you go. Tell us about it. How do we know we've got mass depression? What's going on?
Well, okay, the first thing that I would like to really just make super clear is that this is, we are all in the world, across the world, going through something that we have never experienced before. We've had other pandemics, but not on this scale and in this way. And so feeling anxious and feeling depressed, feeling, you know, having these sorts of emotions at the moment is actually 100% normal in this context.
Oh, so we should relax, everybody. It's normal. Everything's cool.
Look, I think the least helpful thing you can do to someone who's anxious is to say, just relax.
Calm down, man.
But I think it's important that we're normalizing what we're all going through right now. And whether or not this has potential to turn to a much bigger long-term problem, right now we're all okay. You know, we're all actually responding normally to this horrendous situation that we're finding ourselves in around the globe.
We're all okay if we're okay. I mean, if you have a family member who's in distress, or if you're yourself are looking at looming death, you're probably not, but I know what you're driving at. Most of us who are quarantined are cool. I mean, we're cool.
Yeah. And even, you know, when we're talking about diagnosis of a mental disorder, you actually look at whether or not the symptoms that a person is experiencing are in proportion with the life events that they're going through. So there's often talk about grief and depression. They look very similar, but they're not the same thing. There is the likelihood of having a spike in mental health problems down the track, but the research that you were talking about that was published in The Guardian just recently, looking at, you know, depression and anxiety symptoms before and after the shutdown of the UK, I think it's problematic trying to diagnose people with depression or anxiety in the context that we're talking about, in part because it's not something you diagnose on a day-to-day basis. You know, you don't sort of look at somebody and say, you're experiencing severe distress, therefore you have anxiety. So we treat the symptoms as they come up. We manage the symptoms as they come up. But whether or not we're about to see a massive pandemic of mental health problems is another question entirely. And I think there's a really good likelihood that we'll cope. We might not be coping immediately, but we will learn to cope. And the vast majority of people are not going to end up with a mental disorder because we learn new ways to cope. We look at our surroundings and go, how do I get creative here?
What is it about a pandemic that makes people so anxious? Is it a lack of control?
Lack of control, lack of certainty. There's a lot of things that are going on at the moment where our normal ways of coping when we go through, because we all go through stressful life experiences, right? We've all changed jobs, you know, got married, moved city, all the different stressful life experiences that we go through. We have coping strategies that we use in our day-to-day life to get through that. And what the stay-at-home process with COVID has done is take away a lot of those coping strategies that we're used to using and that we're really familiar with. So,
For example,
we can't go and spend time with friends. You can't necessarily go and visit family or take a holiday or go to the gym or even go to a movie, to a cinema. All the things that we're used to being able to do without even thinking about it, all of a sudden we can't do things in the same way. And then for a lot of people who have lost work, there's a loss of that sense of identity, that sense of purpose, all the things that go along with feeling like you're belonging in a workplace and you're doing something productive on a day-to-day basis. So all of those normal coping strategies all of a sudden have just been wiped out. So that's where, yeah, we are at a time of definite risk for developing mental health problems.
Yeah. So can you tell? I mean, how do we know that people are suffering? And then, of course, does that tell us what to do about it? Yeah.
It turns out that different generations actually have different predictors for depression
really?
And anxieties. Yeah.
Really?
I want to do a much bigger version of it with more generations, but then the 16 to 25, like the millennials group, belonging was number one, followed by accomplishment and pessimism.
And in the sort of Gen X, the sort of 40s to 60 age group, it was accomplishment was by far the strongest, followed by belonging and then expressive suppression, so holding your feelings in.
Oh, wow.
It's the biggest risk. Yeah.
There's a lot of different signs that we're going to start seeing. Depression often shows itself more as fatigue, people with increased or decreased appetite, feelings of worthlessness, excessive guilt. It's difficult sometimes to actually see that at the moment if everyone's locked in their houses. Anxiety, I think, plays out a little bit differently. We're seeing people obsessively checking online all the time. A lot of the things that you'll see where people are running away from each other, people are refusing to acknowledge each other in the street at times, a lot of that can be related to anxiety around transmission, but also anxiety just sort of spirals over time if we don't keep it under control. The frustration that you're talking about, we also see a lot of frustration and anger and those sorts of things when we're not coping as well. So again, they're normal human emotions. They may not necessarily be part of a mental disorder, but relate most likely to our inability to use our regular coping strategies and do the things that we would normally do in our day-to-day lives to be able to get through.
So what is it that's missing, and is there a way that we can put the missing things back?
Yes, that's the good news. There's a lot of different coping strategies that we can use in our day-to-day lives while we're staying at home. And I actually think that it's a really good idea to create a list for yourself. So we're all a little bit different, and how, you know, what works for each of us is a little bit different. So you've got to have your own list. And
Doctor, I am Mr. List. I have lists of lists. I am all about to-do lists. Oh, goodness. Oh,
all right. Goodness. Well, this is your coping strategy.
And you can
strategy.
See I'm fine. Oh, I'm just fine. No, so before we start the podcast, before we start these things, I have a list of 21 items I execute just before we even start this. Because I guess because it gives a sense of control. I mean, one of the things on the list is start the recording. Another thing is save the recording. Another one is give the recording a title, you know, things like that. But you're talking about something bigger.
Well, actually, what you've just said is one of the things on my list that I'm going to give you this list of things that you want to create a list of, and being productive. So
just a second, I got to make a list of this. Go ahead.
So accomplishment. So there's new research that my team have just been working on at QUT where we've been actually really surprised to find just how strong the relationship between having a regular sense of accomplishment and low levels of depression and anxiety symptoms and high levels of mental well-being. So when you have that to-do list and you tick things off, you get that sense of accomplishment, right? You've got, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. That is you doing something really positive for your mental health. So obviously being productive and having a sense of accomplishment is one of the big things on the list. The other really big one is social belonging and connectedness. Belonging is absolutely fundamental to our mental health. And this seems to be across the lifespan, maintaining a sense of connectedness. And I think it's really important there to remember that people who are feeling anxious, people who are starting to feel depressed, are less likely to be reaching out. So we need to actually make the effort to reach out to other people.
We'll be back right after this.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
We see a threat, and, you know, it used to be we hear a tiger in the bushes or something, you know, depending on what country you're in. I hear a kangaroo in the bushes. You know, so you immediately go, and you turn around and your muscles react, your cognitive reactions, you've got visual reactions, you've got auditory reactions, like all of your symptoms, your blood literally goes from your internal organs into your muscles to, like, it's a physical reaction. That's what anxiety is. That's what it's supposed to be there for. It's preparing us for fight and flight. What's changed over time is that the things that we perceive as threats are very different now. It could be an email from your boss. It could be, you know, you hit too many red lights on the way to work, so you're going to be late for work. It, you know, whatever that is. So we're still having the same physiological reaction, but to a very different sort of thing. So we're not going to fight it. We're not going to run away from it, you know. So that's one of the reasons why exercise is so important, because it actually does something physical to change that. But that's why anxiety, we say, is really, really normal, because of course you're not sleeping very well because you're heightened all the time. Everything's heightened. And, you know, it's very difficult to sit still, and you're obsessively checking because you're looking at the threat. You're looking to see where is the threat, what is it doing now. So this is, yeah, that's what anxiety is, and that's what we're supposed to do from an evolutionary perspective. That's why doing something makes you feel better, because if you're anxious and you can do something, you can actually reduce the symptoms. The other things on my list of coping strategies, sleep. I'm the kind of person who thrives if I can get 9 hours. You know, I can survive on 7, but I thrive on 9. So I think it's a good idea to know what actually works for you with sleep, food, you know, try
not to eat too much while you're home, just eating and ordering food and cooking.
I've been the other way around. I've been, you know, getting to 11 or 12 o'clock in the morning, and I've been up since 6 and I've forgotten to eat anything.
Doctor, I can't say enough good things. No,
it goes both ways. You know, having a routine is really important, particularly around food. Exercise is actually one of the best strategies for reducing mild level depression symptoms. So,
wow. Hey, I've got it going on. Every day I go for a walk. Do you guys still use miles in Australia for about 4 miles?
We do not, but yeah.
7 or 8 kilometers.
That's a good walk.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, and I see a lot of people walking, and here in Los Angeles, people are taking physical social distancing very seriously. We literally cross the street to avoid each other because there's no cars. You just walk wherever you want. And then I make a point of saying hi to people from a distance, mind you. I mean, even if the most aggressive fluid mechanical spitting, I think at 10 meters, we're pretty good. And so
I think you're probably all right.
So I recommend that to people. I mean, I'm not at your level, but I'm just listening to what you're saying. Getting enough sleep is huge.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, sense of accomplishment and sense of belonging. This takes me right away to my good friend, Thomas the Tank Engine. Do you know him?
Love Thomas.
Yeah, because what does Thomas want to be? He wants to be a useful engine. And when you feel like you're useful, that's when you feel good.
Yeah, 100%.
So do you have any recommendations for people to feel useful? Like, are these Zoom calls a way of connecting? Is it a sign of our resilience?
Yeah, I think that's a very direct sign of our adaptation, you know, sort of going,
I need social connection. I need to feel productive. I'm going to Zoom people instead of having a face-to-face conversation. I think with accomplishment, one of the things that we need to do is actually adapt what we think of as an accomplishment. So, you know, this idea of being productive, if you're not working...
Are you talking about vacuuming?
Vacuuming. Absolutely.
Because that's huge for me. I did some vacuuming this morning. Not some. I did a lot of vacuuming this morning. And I felt great.
As you say, vacuuming, you know, getting up and doing the dishes and acknowledging, yeah, I did that. You know, remembering to wash your hair sometimes can be an accomplishment. And I know a lot of people who've been saying that to get themselves into the mode of being productive, they're doing things like putting on clothes that they would normally wear out, you know, doing their hair or makeup or, you know, putting shoes on, things like that, to just change the mindset from I'm sitting at home in my pajamas to, which is a great mindset. I've got nothing wrong with that mindset, but, you know, changing it into a mindset of I'm going to do something productive now. I've started a vegetable garden out the back, and I'm basically getting whatever I have. So if it's a strawberry, I'll squeeze the strawberry seeds in the garden. If it's a capsicum, I'll squeeze the capsicum seeds in the garden, you know, and just try and see what I can get to grow, if anything will actually grow in there.
This is all good, but I'm just concerned. I won't say I'm anxious. I'm concerned that it's easy to say these things. You should shave every day. You should get enough sleep. Or we strongly recommend that you have a regular schedule. But isn't part of the problem, you referred to the spiral. When you don't do one thing, it leads to another thing, it leads to another thing.
Yeah. I think we need to be really kind to ourselves right now. You know, we're still in the very early stages of this. I mean, look, there's lots of different modeling about how long this is going to go on for. I get a sense of control and a sense of certainty by assuming the worst and then planning for that and knowing I can survive it. I know what my supports are if and when I need support. So that's actually really, really important. So if I'm not okay and nobody is immune, if I'm not okay, I know where to go to get support and to get help. I know if I get sick that I can ask people to walk my dog and, you know, to help look after me, and I'm not afraid to ask people. And I think that that's really important as part of my coping strategy.
You know, my parents lived through the Great Depression here in the U.S. and it affected people of that age their whole lives, their view of of what could go wrong and so on. Is this pandemic going to have the same sort of effect? And is that good or bad? Some of those effects were good, you know, frugality, planning, but some of them were, you know, were a little odd.
Yeah. I think that long term we're going to have both again, as you say.
So, what is it about? Let's just recap here. What is it about this pandemic that makes people anxious? Is it a problem that we're anxious? Because it's a normal response, right? And then what can we do about it? And I think it's sleep, accomplish things, making lists that you can accomplish, and keep in touch with your friends somehow, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So what is it? It's the uncertainty. It's the sudden change. It's the fact that we're feeling out of control. I think that's the key for why we're having such difficulty with this. You know, and for a lot of people, the very fundamental factor of not knowing when you're going to get, where you're going to find your next meal from.
So
that's reality. That's what we're going through right now. And we, you know, we have to accept that. What's in the short term, is it fine to feel anxious? It's absolutely fine to feel anxious about that. It's completely normal. And, you know, I am very much opposed to pathologizing a normal reaction.
Pathologize. So everybody, it just shows you, if you know somebody who's anxious, depressed because his or her anxiety got the better of him, as the saying goes now, reach out to that person. Make make social contact with that person somehow. Not physical contact, not spatial contact, people. Social contact, and just, I guess, reassure that person that he or she is not alone. We're all in this together. Absolutely. If you get nothing else out of this pandemic, is that humans are more alike than they are different.
And work out what your local services are now, because you need to know if you really do get in trouble, where do you go for help? Do it now. Don't wait until things are really bad.
How find do you out know, your local how would I know that things are really bad?
So if your symptoms of depression or anxiety are starting to affect your ability to function in your day-to-day life, if they're getting worse, if they feel overwhelming, and if they are persisting over time more days than not, that's kind of your keys. Is it affecting your function? Is it getting worse? And is it persisting over time? Then that's when you get some help. Don't wait until you're not able to function at all. That's way too late. All of the treatments, all the supports are far more effective if you can get in early.
So we got this pandemic. What do you want people to keep in mind who are feeling so anxious, they're getting depressed and feel themselves winding down, falling down the rabbit hole of depression?
Number one is we are going to come out of this. Number two is humans are incredibly resilient and we will find ways to cope. We will find ways to thrive even in these really dark, difficult days. And as a society, we will get through this. Like you said, we got through the Great Depression. We've got through awful, awful things in our human history in the past. We're going to get through this as well. But if you're struggling, reach out now. Don't wait. Get the support that you need. Keep in touch with others. And, remember that we're all in this together.
There you go, you guys. Thank you, doctor. That's fantastic. Thank you, Olivia. She hit the nail on the head. Don't let it get the best of you. We're all going to get through this. We're going to make it. We're all in this together. So everybody, I appreciate you listening. Doctor, I really appreciate you taking the time from the other side of the world to enlighten us here in the U.S. and elsewhere. This is a pandemic, everybody. And as Dr. Fisher said, we are all in this together because it is one world, one earth. We are one species. We are more alike than we are different. And through this, when it comes to any sort of medical issue, any sort of health issue, it's science. And so during this pandemic, science rules. Our guest today has been Dr. Olivia Fisher, who's a mental health expert, talking about the mental health issues that are going to face us in the pandemic. Thank you very much. Now, if you like Science Rules, and of course I hope you do, please take a moment to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher. It helps us out. It helps other people learn about the show so that we can share our knowledge and help ourselves get through all this stuff. So thank you. Now, Science Rules, Coronavirus Edition, is a production of Witness Docs from Stitcher. The show is produced by Claire Rawlinson, Stephanie Kariuki, and Corey S. Powell. Our editor today is Tracy Samuelson. Our engineer is Luz Fleming, who also mixed this episode. Peter Clowney is our executive producer. Special thanks again to Casey Halford. Chris Bannon is the chief content officer here at Stitcher. And at Stitcher, science rules.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.